Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'm Chester.
And I'm Javon, back again.
And this is In My Shoes, episode 31. This is also a historic in the podcast because this is the first show that features a person who was previously on the show. That's vibes. When you say,
yeah, well, hopefully, as you say, let's go with something nice. It's only right that it's done twice, so let me hope you know that, you know, it was nice, you know, for all the listeners. And as I said at the beginning, I'm back again.
Yeah, and we're going to talk today about your journey in church to when you are now. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let me get it down the mic.
Get nice like a pan.
You got it.
Just say it. Why you started going to church?
Well, as early as I could remember, so I could probably say like I'm born in church in a sense. So probably while I was still in primary school, I would say like about six-ish, if I could, 6-7 if I could remember then, yeah. So, ever since I can remember, you know, I grew up in church.
And what church was this?
Well, it was a bit of both. So, my dad is originally from Moruga. So, whenever we done on that end, we'll go to my grandmom church, which is Fifth Company Baptist Church. And then, we currently live on the east side. So currently, once we're on the east side, east ends of Trinidad, I attend with my family the Bonya for Gospel Baptist Church.
What was your first impression of church? Now don't hold back. We don't charge over. Yeah, of course.
Well, I guess, especially going to my grandmom church, that more or less would have left a kind of impression on me, because they more or less had like an old school kind of vibe church with a lot of elderlies and stuff. And they are like the tambourine players.
Yes.
The harmonica blowers and them.
Wow.
And some clapper men. If you don't know about instruments, if you don't have a clapper man in your church, trust, a clapper man does bring the vibe. So that was my first real impressions in church, you know, especially going to my grandmom. You know, as a youth, you know, see any vibes. And of course, they had like these boy churches. So they had the clapper men and they had the stumpers. You know? So between the clapper men and the stumpers and that rhythm, yeah, so church for me early on was like vibes, you know? It was good vibes.
And on the east side, when you think.
Yeah, but the east side was more, you know, like a kind of place to hang out at the beginning, because, you know, there's all my friends and stuff from around the area.
Yeah.
And we had this awesome Sunday school teacher, God bless her soul, who used to be like my mom, Sister Bavel. So, for us,
Sister Bavel, yeah. Beg up yourself.
Yeah, beg up yourself. Hopefully she looking down upon us saying no. And you're proud of what I've become. You know? So, yeah, so she used to run that Sunday school after. So, it was to go to church and then head across the Sunday school, you know. For those who don't know, back then, when it is you want ice cream, you started to make it yourself, you know, because friends didn't have the pennies to get money to go and buy no ice cream. So, and Sister Bavel, she had an ice cream maker. Peeps, trust. That was my vibes. You know? You know, all of me just sitting around the ice cream maker, throwing in all the butter, the cream and stuff, the ice, all the salt, and then mixing and making ice cream. So, for me, as I said, being down south was all about the vibes, the action. And then home was, you know, just hanging out with friends, mixing ice cream. with Sister Bavel, you know, in Sunday school, so yeah.
My uncle had a snow cone machine.
Hey, you tell yourself. Well, alright, anything.
What each you became? What each? Church became more than a weekly event for you.
More than a weekly event. I would take the question as in when I actually got serious in church.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. So when I actually got serious in church was when I was actually 23, so that would have been six years.
Don't get out.
Nah, I know there's only ladies tend to, you know, be worried with the age, but I'm cool with it. But that'll be 6 years ago for those who could calculate it, you know. So when I was about 23, that's when I really got serious. I was technically, in a sense, always active in church because our church on the east side had a dance group. Choreographed dancing and stuff, and then that was like a camp goer because our church would have camps, you know.
So, okay,
but for me personally, like a spiritual life, a spiritual walk, really started at the age of 23.
Okay, one was the sermon that changed your whole mindset on church?
Well, there's a lot, but I will take it back.
Give us the short version.
Yeah. Well, I will link it to the question I asked before. As in, like, what changed my life is that, as I said, I had some friends in church, and they would always encourage me to come to events and stuff, and I attended an event in Tobago called Glue Fest. And that was when I was 23. And when I went that concert and stuff and all the ministers and stuff that was there, they really ministered to me. And it had a guy called Mali Music, big up his old self, artist. He did a performance, you know, that really touched me. And for all those who know me, I love music, you know, and his lyrical content too was really relatable and stuff. And like in that moment, you know, hearing the words within the music, that really, you know, changed me. It was like a ministerial concert for me. And after that, you know, I left there saying, you know what? Yeah, it's really time for me to, you know, get serious and, you know, start to make movements towards, you know, where I am now and what I'm doing now. So
yeah. Okay, because we're almost out of time. Was it difficult to transition from a taking our life to our spiritual life.
Yeah, 100%, and it's not just for transition. Transition kind of sounds like, you know, when you cross over, that's it. But when you reach into that spiritual life, it's a whole other thing, you know what I mean? Different things that you might have battled with, you know, when you was in the quote-unquote secular life, it tends to get amplified in the spiritual life. And, you know, just to put a nugget here within my journey, you know, because it's really a journey that we are on. It's not about just transitioning and reaching the spiritual life and you say, cool, that is it. You know, I have arrived, you know, all right, Jesus, boom, boom, link up, take map, beam up, Jesus. You know, it's not that, you know, it's a continuous process where sometimes what you have to be saying is, God, Jesus, pick me up. You know what I mean? And to be real, sometimes to me personally, given, you know, the path that I'm on now, I actually told God at some points, like, God, leave me alone. Like, it's too much. You know what I mean? Or even said, God, take me. You know what I mean? I can't cope anymore. So, you know, it wasn't, and it isn't just a transition. You know, it is a lifelong journey. You know? So.
Yeah. Okay, well. Almost a minute and a half over time. So we'll come back and when we do, we'll talk to Mr. Thomas some more about his spiritual non-quick. This is in my shoes.
This podcast is brought to you by the amazing people at Anchor. Anchor is a free app where you can not only listen to your favorite podcasters, but you can become one yourself. Anchor will also distribute your podcast amongst other platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. Download the Anchor app today.
Welcome back to this week's episode. Javon, tell the people welcome back.
Welcome back, peeps. And I guess it's only right at this time too. Also, make a shout out and a big up to yours truly, Chester De La Rosa, you know, for doing such a wonderful job. Because as you would have said, you know, I'm back again on the second rounds at this, but he would have had so much success in his previous, you know, interviews and podcasts and stuff like that. So it's only right, you know, to give the man behind the mic, you know, right now in front of the mic. It's only right to give the man behind the mic his flowers, you know. So big up your old Sir Chester and welcome back to my ends and, you know, to knowing a little bit about what it takes to walk in my shoes.
Thanks. Sometime I want to ask is I remember John the Baptist holding Jesus and dipping him 3 times in the water. Was that ever done to you?
Yeah, baptizing, being baptized, yeah. I had my dip, you know. It wasn't 3 times. I had one good soak up, what you call that, Victory Heights. Yeah, Victory Heights. So, yeah, that was in 2010. So in 2010, I would have been baptized by my pastor now, Reverend Ivan Bittis.
Ivan, back up yourself.
Yeah.
Not the hurricane, though.
Nah, not the hurricane.
And thank you. You've answered my follow-up question, which would have been how long ago? Take us through your journey of preparing for baptism.
The journey. Well, I guess long story short, I would have been prepared.
No, give us the whole thing.
No, well, at least for me, as I say, like, you know, as I was born into church and stuff like that, I guess I was prepared my whole life, you know what I mean, to be baptized, you know. Whenever I go by my grandparents and south, you know, especially my grandmom, she was, you know, heavy in the faith, heavy in belief. So, you know, she would have always, you know, carried me around in between little stuff. And so I would already see it. And then when I come back home, you know, Sister Bovell, you know, my Sunday school teacher, you know, so it was a whole lifelong journey. But I guess, as I said, it's like when you know what you know in Jesus Christ, you know, you really can't choose any other life, you know. Yes, this life wouldn't be a perfect life, you know, you wouldn't be the best, you know, version, or the best or the most holy Christian, you know, but, you know, at that stage in my life, at that time in my life, I would have, I don't give up my age, because they say not to give up my age.
Yeah, don't give it out.
So, like, when back in 2010, you know, I would have been 20, 21, you know?
No.
Oh, God, like, I don't need to know my age properly. 2010, yeah, over, 10 years ago, so I'd be 19, 18, yeah. 19, right? Yeah. I'd be around 18, 19, now finishing A's, I believe, yeah. Now finishing A's. And, you know, just wanting to just settle my life. And just wanting to truly, you know, commit myself to walk in this path, you know, because as I said, you know, the Christian life is not a transition where you just wake up one morning and you just, you know, transition and take. You know, it is a journey, you know. So, you know, right after finishing A's and before making my step either was to work or start university or, you know, to just discover my life, you know, the first step I took was to, you know, commit myself to my spiritual life. So, yeah.
How much time I said before, how much time was there between you baptizing and you becoming a youth leader? I've done my research and I found that out.
Yeah, so I guess baptizing at say 18, 19, becoming a youth leader. Well, baptizing 18, 19. Truly, well, committing myself at 18, 19. Sorry for babbling here. So yes, I committed myself at 18, 19. I truly, you know, started to take my spiritual life serious, actually, as I said before, when I was 23.
Yes.
And then when I was 27, because I was youth leader for about 2 years now. So yes, when I was about 27 is when, you know, I became the youth leader of my church. So yeah, so you can say from... When I was baptized at 18, 19, I truly baptized and committed myself to God in a way when I was 23. So I will say after 4 years of doing it,
yeah.
I became a youth leader. Or, yeah, I became a youth leader. tongue and child. Yeah, I'm a tongue and child.
As it's stressful at time to deal with adolescents and young adults.
Yeah, 100%. And I wouldn't say it's stressful, because there's a choice you make, you know what I mean? I could have said no to becoming a youth leader, you know what I mean? So I actually choose this life, but it's more of a pressure, you know, especially, as I said, I would have struggled so much in my journey and truly committed myself after being, quote unquote, born in Christ. It's really at 23 I commit myself. So I know when you're 4 years truly into this thing, into this walk with God, now having the responsibility, you know what I mean, to lead his youth, you know, into a better path. Who would have been younger than me, who at that age, I was in self where they are now, you know, in their spiritual walk. You know, so it is a pressure and a motivation. You know, sometimes, you know, it is overwhelming, I must say, but thank God, the kingdom of God is not a one-man army, you know what I mean? The kingdom of God is all about teamwork. You know, Jesus Christ, if you look at his lifestyle and his in himself, yes, I believe he could have done it by his own, but he went out there and got his 12, you know, got his disciples, you know, got his holy stuff to pump with him. So it was just about me, you know, connecting with my youth, you know, and truly investing into my peeps. So for us, we always have a slogan that teamwork makes you dream work. And as soon as I started acknowledging that the responsibility is not on me, you know, to lead them, because who am I to save anyone? I can't, you know. But what I can do is point them, you know, to the direction of Christ. So, and then have other members, you know, within my youth group to do that same thing, you know. So we had a nice little session a while back talking about what is Christianity and how do we evangelize. And, you know, we came up with this nice little... not came up, but we discovered, you know, within our study, this nice little, they call it an idiom, that what it is about, what are we doing? And it's basically one beggar telling the next beggar where to find food. So that is all it's about now. So it relieves the pressure for me to, quote unquote, feed the people. Now I am just here to point my youth to the direction, to just point them to Christ. So, you know, the pressure is getting a little less, but... it's still there. I think the internal pressure of yourself, your own work with Christ, is much more difficult to deal with for me when it comes, rather than, you know, being a motivator for someone else. You know, because just tying into my last episode, my last interview with sport, you know, as a sportsman, you know, I was bred to be a motivator, regardless of my shortcomings, regardless of my success. You know, I was bred to, you know, make sure. And you know, had the youth, so that was always within me. But, you know, your personal game, your personal walk with Christ, that is, you know, for me, the biggest pressure. So, yeah.
You said you and your answer that is a team of youth leaders. How many other youth leaders are there?
Well, for me, my style of leadership is making everyone a leader. So to be honest, if you just want a number, 1, 2, 3, say about five of my peeps, five of my closest peeps, you know, have active leadership roles in the church, including the previous leader, you know, who was, you know, the leader before, you know. So yeah, but to be honest, everybody, you know, once I link in with you, and I'd rather see potential, I let you know that you have the potential, you know, to be a leader in your own life. And through your own life, you know, through your own strengths, you know, you could lead, you know. I'm here doing this whole now, which is, I guess, a form of social media, which those who know me know I'm very poor at it. You know, I only have WhatsApp. That's my thing. So I have youths, you know, who WhatsApp and social media, I think, is their thing. You know, so I allow them to lead in that way, you know. So it's all about just finding the strengths in everyone and giving them that leadership role, you know. So for me, I guess most of my peeps might really see me as a youth leader, that kind of thing. You know, they more or less see me as a brother, you know. Somebody who just there, you know, just assist them along the way, you know. And for me too, to get assistance from them. So, yeah. But to say who I'll go to direct, probably about five or six peeps that I'll go to direct, you know, for help.
What activities do y'all engage in to keep youth entertained and excited about coming to church?
Well, right now, you know, COVID in the place, right?
Okay, cool.
So the activities that we would have used to have was simple stuff. So youth meetings, we have one or two sports days in between. We have church camps, you know, these sort of stuff where youths could just come together and fellowship, you know. But the leadership now that we have now, you know, really trying to work on some more interactive ways of getting it done. So I said those are the ways that we used to use, but now, you know, we trying to see if we can bring some a bit to, you know, get a little more creative with interacting with youths. Because, you know, the generation don't stick, you know what I mean? They're very, very creative, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, stay with us for the last, hopefully, 10 minutes.
Yes, just I'm a tongue tired.
In my shoes, Javon claims his tongue is sweating. So, we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back, everybody. This is the last segment of the week, and when I'm with my good brother Javon.
For sure.
And probably wondering, how come I am calling you Mr. Thomas?
I tell you, God, he comes around. Yeah, I was wondering, you didn't say Mr. Thomas, you were saying, I was like, all right, cool.
We've become great friends since that first episode.
Correct is right.
How has COVID and the numerous lockdowns affected productions at the Bonneville Gospel Baptist Church?
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't say it affected. I would just say that it revitalized it, because now social media is the name of the game, you know. And our pastor is a strong believer that the church is just not the building, you know. The church is his members, you know what I mean. The church is the body of Christ, all of us. So it's all about us, you know, getting into the social media game. So we would have opened up a YouTube page, we would have opened up an Instagram page, started a Facebook page as well, you know, because we really understood now that if it is we stop connecting with people, that don't mean they will stop connecting with other things, you know. So it was just up to us to provide our platform to connect with them on another medium. So COVID, as for some people, you know, might have stopped them, but for us, you know, it revitalized us, you know, and invigorated us, you know, to utilize new methods to, oh my God, you see cups, to go forth and connect with God's people. So yeah.
And you on the committee board and activity planning team as a youth leader?
Yes, I'm in the church board, I'm on the social media team board as well. The events planning, we trying to get somebody else to get that done, you know, but, you know, COVID in the place, so, you know, everybody just rallying around each other right now, but yes, I'm active on a couple of boards within my church.
Well, David, what a boy. You see, in your previous episode, you said you've retired from cricket. Do you work?
Yes, I do currently work. Continue it. Right, so I do country work. I'm an AG clerk too at the Ministry of Finance presently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you juggle work life with your social life and your church life?
I guess for me, I don't really mix my life that much, you know. So to be honest, when I work, you know what I mean. When I out of work, you know, I'll have my social time when I out of work. And then, you know, sorry, please, for all of you listening. But there's some hiccups here and just sort of keeping me talking. But these questions. But long story short, it's all about focusing on what you're doing at that current time, and you know, just doing it to the best of your ability. So that's more or less how I get it done. Whoever had to have to put on, try my best at it, and you know, make it happen. So
yeah. And funding for your church events, how does that work?
My funding for church events is more or less on donations, offerings. Really don't do much in terms of any sales or anything like that, you know, to get money. So it's more based on, you know, offerings and donations and stuff like that, you know, that drives us forward.
Have y'all ever tried big sales, barbecues, anything like that before?
Yes, but we don't, well, as our exec, you know, we never really promoted as the church. So members in the church who want to have a bake sale or a barbecue or, you know, a fundraiser event for something or whatever, you know, we give them full authority to do that, you know. But as a church body, we wouldn't, you know, host a fundraiser event, like, you know, for our gain. You know, it's more for the membership. So if there's a member in need, you know, and the church, I did to the church, you know, assisting financially, you know, that member is allowed, you know, to throw some form of, you know, fundraiser events, you know. So that is how we normally do it. So any fundraiser is membership based, not as the board or the church body.
Do you have and you regret of like this question came from the street name. What's it? Do you have any regrets while being a youth leader, like you've done something that you found out and you felt really, really bad about?
No, because as I said, for me personally, my personal style is not to be like a leader in terms of like I'm above and, you know, everyone below me. So, and they're looking up to me as this, you know, perfectionist, that kind of thing. I'm more of like a brother style leadership. So most of my peeps, if not all, knows all my shortcomings, knows all my downfalls, you know, knows all my temptations as well, you know, where I fall short, you know, because, you know, we need assistance. And I don't think there was ever a moment in my leadership stint, let me put it like that, that, you know, I would have felt regretful or something. What I will quote unquote feel regretful for is probably not being the best leader, or whenever I see quote unquote, you know, my youths going astray, you know, and not be able to help them or not be able to guide them or not being there for them, you know, that in itself is truly, you know, my biggest regrets, you know, that I might have lost some membership. But I know, you know, planting the seed and faith into their lives that, you know, as I said before, like, I can't save anyone, but, you know, as best I could have, you know, point them to the direction of who could save them. And I really hope, you know, that one day, you know, that they not turn their life around, you know, but they just continue that walk on Christ. And it don't have to be under me, you know what I mean, especially with our church body and our church group. Our pastor always believes in, it's not about filling our church, you know what I mean, and having the biggest memberships. You know, if you come and you get inspired, you know, you get the word of God poured into your heart, you know, you could go there and attend another church, you know, and just spread the word for yourself. So as I said, so it's not about I feeling regretful for things I would have done, but I being regretful for probably not. I being regretful for not doing enough at times. So, yeah.
What legacy do you hope to leave with these youths?
Wow. A legacy. I guess to keep on keeping on. That is my legacy. I like to leave with them.
And what do you mean by that?
But that basically means that regardless what life offers you,
yes,
know that there's always an opportunity, or you always have the choice to become better and do better. And the mere fact that one day I was telling you, it's one day I will not be there. Death is coming. You know, like we not mama guy ourselves about it. Death is coming. So even if I am no longer there in their lives, keep on keeping on. You know, keep on doing what they know they had to do. Keep on becoming who they are to become. You know, so I guess that is one of my biggest legacies that I always tell anybody in life, you know, to keep on keeping on. Despite who is there, who you might want to be there in your life, and who, you know, leave your life at the end of the day, you have to keep on keeping on. So, yeah.
Well, we've come to the end of another remarkable episode in the life of the In My Shoes podcast. jump on. Is there anything you'd like to leave with our audience tonight?
Tick tock. Okay, I know. Simple, not to be dark, you know, but you know, I like to be a realist because one of my mom's from church has asked my pastor's wife, Auntie C. She always tell us that we are real people suffering, not suffering, but real people having real issues, but we serve a real God, you know. So I just want you all to know, peeps, you know, just be real with yourselves, just be real with others, and just be real with Jesus, you know. And just by doing that, you know, we'll be able to do much more. We'll be able to become much more. We will be able to maximize the potential that God has already instilled into our life. So, that's it. This life is not a transition, it's a journey. So after listening to this little interview, make your first step towards that journey.
Make your first step, but don't forget to keep smiling. Step with your shoes on and keep walking. Good night, everybody.